I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, 5 in one household will be divided, 3 against 2, and 2 against 3. They will be divided, father against son, and son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. Jesus also said to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say it's going to rain, and so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say there will be a scorching heat, and it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time? This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let's be honest, those words are a bit scary. Jesus says that he came to bring fire to the earth and says he even wishes that it was already started. During Christmas, we sing beautiful pieces of music about how Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and yet Jesus says, I don't come to bring peace, I come to bring division. And what really makes this text so bad is all those exclamation points. Jesus is yelling at us. The scripture is even more scary because it's plucked out of the gospel right from the middle of this gospel and taken out of context. Not just out of context of a bigger story, but out of context because the words that Jesus uses meant something different when they were written than they do to us today. We don't want a Savior who's angry and yelling and going to destroy and divide. We want a Savior who is kind and caring, who's quiet-spoken and helps everybody who has a need. We want a Savior who's a friend, who'll sit beside us, put his arm around us, and make everything better. Well, the good news, my friends, is that Jesus is that kind and loving Savior. But sometimes even Jesus has to call us out and get our attention. All of us have had to make difficult decisions in our lives. Decisions that force us to make choices that are sometimes painful. We gather information, we look at the pros and cons, we try to consider both sides of the decision and how they will affect our lives and the lives of those closest to us. We struggle with ourselves and sometimes ask others for advice. We all work through the process in different ways, coming to a conclusion that we believe is right for us and hopefully right for all of those who care about us. Usually there is no single choice that provides everything we want. There is always some sacrifice, and we have to go on faith that those sacrifices will pay off in the long run. And somehow, no matter how hard we try, someone will always disagree with the decision that we're. Someone will get angry, and sometimes there's even hostility. We're never sure how others will react, even when we know deep within our hearts that we've made the right decisions. Sometimes we're just not prepared for the way others are going to accept what we choose. Being faced with a difficult decision is not fun, and sometimes living with the result of our decisions can be unpleasant, even though we know that we've made the best decision. The urgency and anger in Jesus' words present us with a crisis. But not a crisis in the sense of the word that we understand it today. Jesus is not threatening to destroy the world or cause hatred among families. Jesus is calling us to make a decision. A very, very important decision. The word crisis, according to the dictionary, is a difficult or dangerous situation that needs immediate attention. But the word crisis, which comes from the Greek, literally means to make a judgment or to make a decision. Jesus' presence in the world created a crisis. Jesus taught us a new way to live, taught us how to live with compassion and love. But what Jesus teaches us goes against what the rest of the world believes. Jesus is not calling for destruction. Jesus came to purify us, to light a fire in our souls, and to live that will of God. Then he warns us that the world is not always going to agree with the decision that we make. There's a contemporary Christian song that was popular a few years ago that says, "So forget this game of being good and your self-righteous pain. Because the only good inside your heart is the good that Jesus brings. And when the world begins to see you change, don't expect them to applaud. Just keep your eye on him and tell yourself, I've become the work of God." These words from Jesus come from the middle of the gospel, but the real meaning lie in what comes at the beginning of the gospel, that comes what before comes before. Luke begins by telling us this beautiful story of a divine birth, and then follows it with story after story after story of healing and compassion. But what Jesus says and does is different than what the world believes, and he is challenged every step of the way. He's even met with hostility. Living according to what God teaches us through Jesus can not only create hard feelings by others towards those who follow Jesus, but sometimes Christians have hard feelings against those who don't believe the way that we do. Jesus even warns us that following him can divide families. Jesus is not saying that because of him, a son will hate a father will hate a son, or a daughter will hate her mother, or a mother will hate her daughter. Jesus says that they will be divided because not everyone will agree with the decisions that we make. You see, Jesus' words are descriptive, not prescriptive. They're not words of condemnation, words predicting what will happen. Jesus is not saying that because of him, divisions will purposely be created. He's not contradicting everything he's taught about love, friendship, and unity. He's describing what can happen when we let God's love fill our hearts, but others disagree. His words are plain, real world talk about divisions that are created among people because of what Jesus teaches. When we try to live according to what Jesus has taught us, not everyone's going to agree. Think about this. How many of you have known families where a young person has decided to go into the military to serve their country because they feel strongly about serving and protecting their country? This is a difficult decision, and sometimes it causes dissension among families. Sometimes a young person's choice of a girlfriend or a boyfriend causes concern with the parents. Sometimes a choice has to be made for a certain course of medical treatment, but not everybody in the family is going to agree. And anything that has to do with money is a perfect formula for a problem. Families are supposed to be a place where everyone loves and supports each other, but oftentimes difficult decisions are made. And even though they still love each other, they may have a little more difficulty supporting those decisions. Making the decision to live a life of love and compassion according to God's word is not easy. It's difficult to live in a way that the whole world does not necessarily accept, and maybe even at times views as foolish. But that's the crisis. That's the decision that Jesus challenges us to. Jesus' words remind us that he didn't come to validate the ways of the world. He didn't come to maintain the status quo. He came to turn the world upside down. His mission of compassion, mercy, and justice demonstrates to us that just keeping the peace, not rocking the boat, is not what it means to be a Christian. Jesus' warning is that the love that God has for all of God's creation is a love that will create division, a love that will burn deep within our hearts, and that some will be consumed by that fire. The entire 11th chapter of Hebrews, of which we only read a few verses, lists example after example of those who made the decision to live their faith and follow God. The author writes about those whose faith conquered kingdoms and enforced judgments. He writes about those who were tortured and stoned for their faith. But the author also assures us that we can run that race, keeping our eyes on Jesus who suffered injustice and pain, so that we would know that when we suffer, that through God's love, there is always compassion. I served a church in a community that has a huge problem with drugs, hunger, and homelessness. It's a historic church that sits in the middle of downtown, and the congregation is a pillar of that community. A local organization of ministers decided that it was time that the churches started to do something about homelessness and asked this church to support a homeless shelter for men. There were places for women and children, but there were no place for men. The ministers wanted to create a warm and safe place for men to get off the street during the coldest months of the year, and this church was the ideal place. They had the perfect space underneath the fellowship hall. And the church was centrally located where people in need could get there without any special transportation. It would have been really easy for this congregation to just say, "We don't want those people hanging around our church." But the congregation recognized that Jesus called them to go against what the community thought was right and to reach out and to care for those people, to provide shelter for the homeless. And they made that very difficult decision to reach out and provide hope. Some congregation members swore they'd never come back. Community organizations who used that church left and went someplace else that was safer. Members of other churches laughed at that congregation and said, "You're stupid. These men are going to burn down your church." It's hard to believe that people could be so cruel when you try to do what's right. But think about for a minute what they must have felt. Think about how you would feel if someone asked you to open a homeless shelter in the basement of the academy. Yeah, the words were cruel, but understanding. But instead of just turning their backs and letting someone else do the work, the congregation opened that shelter with the help of the community and refused to accept the status quo. This past April, they finished their 7th season as a homeless shelter. Many of those who laughed now volunteer. The community organizations who left the church came back to that church and not only meet there, but now volunteer and provide food and support for that shelter. And interestingly enough, no one left the congregation. In fact, in a community that's dying and shrinking, that congregation even grew a little bit because people wanted to be a part of something that was doing good in the community. Jesus presents us with a crisis, but not a crisis of impending doom and destruction. Jesus presents us with a decision whether or not to follow Him. In a world that seems to be filled with hatred and violence, Jesus calls on all of us to show compassion and love. It's a whole lot easier to pick up your ball and walk away, to judge those who you think need to be punished, and to not listen to what God says. It's far more difficult to put aside our personal feelings and to show unconditional compassion. Christianity is not for wimps. Yes, being a Christian is all about love, peace, compassion, and hope. But living a life that offers love, peace, compassion, and hope is going to have a few bad days. But during those bad days, we can look back and know that Jesus warned us that it wasn't going to be easy. And know that God will lead the way and help us run that race. Jesus calls us to make a decision, but we're not in it alone. We're surrounded by so many who have gone before us, who understand the difficulty and the pain and are cheering us on. So let's run that with perseverance, that race that has been set before us. And in the words of the beautiful hymn that Cheryl just sang for us a few minutes ago, "In holy contemplation, we sweetly then pursued the theme of God's salvation and find it ever new. Set free from present sorrow, we cheerfully can say, let the unknown tomorrow bring with it what it may. Amen.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty.